This is Peter Francis, President of Clinical Laboratory Sales Training, and this is the third and final part of a series called If Socrates Sold Lab Services. This was written in January of 2011. In the first episode, we observed an inept sales representative, John, make a sales presentation to Dr. Johnson's office manager, Betty, about his Me Too lab service. She was unimpressed with his lab's offering. Besides, the office was generally content with ABC Lab. Well, Socrates entered the picture, and Betty was willing to listen to his presentation as a courtesy. He used a much different approach than John, more professional and very inquisitive. Socrates exposed problems Betty did not feel were issues at first glance, but once they were discussed in more detail, she understood the problems more vividly. In effect, he revealed unrecognized problems and described unanticipated solutions. Socrates categorized his solutions into strategic and operational benefits, helping to paint a clearer picture. He described a benefit bucket into which he placed these advantages. In this episode, Betty schedules an appointment for Socrates to meet briefly with Dr. Johnson. This stands as a good move for three reasons. One is that Socrates could speak directly with the provider about medical aspects of his lab. Secondly, it demonstrates Betty felt it was more important to have Dr. Johnson involved. And third, it shows a form of action on Betty's part as opposed to the verbal interaction with Socrates, which might just keep going and going and going with just no end in sight. Socrates' commitment objective for this upcoming meeting is to have the doctor agree to a trial run for using his lab called Good Lab. We pick up at the initial part of the meeting with Dr. Johnson. Nice to meet you, Dr. Johnson. As Betty has already mentioned to you, she and I have had a couple of discussions about your ABC lab service. I'm certainly prepared to talk about my lab, but if you can give me your perspective on what you expect from a good lab service, we can focus this brief meeting on your needs and interests.
That's a first. I don't see reps very often, but if I do, they usually do all the talking. And I don't recall anyone asking me what I thought about a certain product or service. Let's see here, ABC Lab. I guess it's about 4 or 5 years I've been using them as my primary lab. They're pretty reliable. They pick up. They have my reports available, usually the next morning. They call me with critical results. I would say, in general, things are going smoothly from my point of view.
Well, I should recap one of the things I explained to Betty in our first meeting, that we take customer service very seriously. We work hard at minimizing wait times on the phone because we understand the effect it has on our clients. In fact, we have a person answering our phone as opposed to most other labs who have a recorded auto attendant. Our clients tell me they really appreciate our personalized service. What's your opinion on that?
That is rare these days. I see your point. What else makes your lab so different from ABC?
Well, Dr. Johnson, we have many differences, but I don't really want to reel them off because a number of them may not mean a thing to you. I need to find out what's important to you from a patient care point of view. For example, Betty mentioned you get your preliminary culture results faxed to you the following afternoon. Do you find that optimum for your practice, or would you prefer an earlier result?
It would be better to have it earlier, but the afternoon is what I'm accustomed to. That's the way it's always been. You can't rush a culture. Those little critters have to have time to grow, you know.
Well, I certainly understand, but the difference lies in the time of day a technician plates your cultures. As you know, my lab, a good lab, sits right here in town, and your lab, ABC, is about an hour and a half away. While it may not appear to be much difference, it can be a big discrepancy when it comes to things such as processing your patient's samples. Our courier can collect your specimens in the early afternoon and return to the lab by the middle of the day. Because we set up routine testing immediately, we can plate your cultures right away, allowing for earlier preliminary reports. ABC Lab receives your specimens in the evening, and by the time the microbiology department begins to plate cultures, the clock strikes midnight or later. This could translate into 6 or 7 hours difference between the two labs, you know, which means with my lab, your patients could be treated much earlier than they are now. Do you think they would appreciate that kind of medical care?
I would say so.
And one more thing, Dr. Johnson, you would have a competitive advantage over the other area doctors who use ABC Lab. What are your thoughts on that?
I see your point. It's always good to have a competitive advantage. I never really thought the lab I use could offer any kind of leverage for me. That's a good point. So, what else differentiates your lab?
How does your rep keep you informed of changes with their laboratory, such as a new test or methodology changes or maybe even clinical guideline practices?
As Betty probably told you, I usually don't see representatives due to my heavy schedule. I don't even recall his name. I ask Betty to talk with him when he stops by. I'm not sure how often that is, frankly.
This may, in fact, be a significant basic difference between the two laboratories. Do you feel it's important to know about changes in lab medicine?
Well, sure, but things don't change very often with the lab. I mean, I've been using the same basic lab test for years, and I only order tests when I feel it's clinically relevant or when I do my annual physicals.
Well, I don't doubt that, Dr. Johnson. That's certainly a responsible approach to practicing medicine. But my point is this. Lab medicine does change with fair regularity. Not only could it be the introduction of a new test, but also a new methodology that offers greater sensitivity or specificity. You know, and besides testing methods, manufacturers develop new and improved transport supplies. In addition, the various medical associations, including the CDC, continually update their recommendations. For example, there's a new algorithm for HIV screening, and the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases has very recently developed guidelines on testing for food allergies. The point I'm making is that I can be a resource for you to keep you updated with changes not only with laboratory medicine, but also with clinical practice guidelines. How do you think this may impact your practice?
Yes, I see your point. It can be a distinctive factor for me. Do you have anything in writing about this new HIV algorithm and food allergy testing?
Yes, in fact, I have information in my office, and I'll be happy to bring it to you since you expressed interest.
Good. I'd like to see it.
There are other examples I can briefly share with you that help you with patient care. I mentioned before about changes in methodology. Let me ask you, have you had a time when you strongly suspected C. difficile infection, but the C. diff results came back as negative?
Oh, sure. It happens every now and then. I guess the method is not very sensitive. Why do you ask?
Well, GoodLab has been performing C. difficile testing for many years using the standard EIA procedure. However, we have recently changed to a state-of-the-art qualitative PCR assay. This has a much higher sensitivity than the typical enzyme immunoassay. Do you see that benefiting your practice?
Well, yes, I guess so. I'd like to see some clinical papers on this subject. It's good to know you offer the more up-to-date method. I must admit, it puzzles me when I see a negative result, because my clinical suspicion in some patients tells me C. diff is the causative agent of diarrhea. I usually end up repeating the test, sometimes more than once.
This is simply another example indicating how I could be a valuable support to your practice. Most people regard a lab as just a lab, simply an organization running tests and returning results to the provider. But GoodLab provides far more than a routine service. We give our clients value, and that's what I promote. It really distills down to the question, who would you rather use, a lab acting in a simple transactional manner, or a local lab that sees the relationship as a joint venture, keeping you informed of related topics? Well, I think that covers a number of things separating GoodLab from ABC Lab, attributes demonstrating both strategic as well as operational benefits. Before we go further, may I ask if there are any areas you feel I need to cover?
I think that's it for now. I may have some later follow-up questions. I've got to get back to seeing my patients. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, allow me to briefly summarize some of the benefits I have discussed with you. First, we offer a very personalized service, not only when your office calls our lab, but also through me as your personal representative, someone who keeps you informed of the latest in lab testing. Secondly, we minimize phone wait times for your staff, allowing them to be more productive and do the job they're supposed to be doing. And third, due to our local presence, GoodLab can process your patient's specimens during the day, allowing for better turnaround time. It also can be impressive for your patients, and it helps distinguish your practice from other doctors in the area using ABC Lab, kind of giving you a competitive advantage. I'd like to propose the next most logical step is for your office to give GoodLab a try. There's no firm commitment. Just try us for a few patients to see how we do. If it looks like there stands a good fit, we can expand the relationship over time.
Sounds like a plan. I will tell Bader to work out the details with you to give GoodLab a trial run, and we'll see where it goes from there.
After Socrates left the office, Dr. Johnson commented to Betty, "You know, that's the first time I can remember where I thought I was satisfied with something, but someone got me thinking otherwise. He asked a number of good questions. He talked my language." Like all good sales representatives, Socrates performed a mini critique of how things went after he left the office. His commitment objective was to get the doctor to designate some specimens to GoodLab for a trial run. Mission accomplished. He could have done a better job, he thought, of asking Dr. Johnson if there were any pressing issues about his lab. Instead, Socrates allowed the doctor's comment of,
"I would say in general things are going smoothly from my point of view,"
as an indication there weren't major irritations with the lab service. In addition, Socrates recalled he asked a number of closed questions in which the client could have replied with a yes or no answer. He knew that using open questions would have been a better technique, allowing the client to expand his thoughts. Overall, however, he was pleased with how the conversation unfolded. Commentary. Socrates interacted with the doctor 14 times, and all but three of them involved a question. Notice, too, that Dr. Johnson asked Socrates four questions throughout the discussion, imparting a sense of interest. The doctor was impressed and surprised at Socrates' first comment of, "Well, I am prepared to talk about my lab, but if you can give me your perspective." This statement offered a couple of important points. First, it demonstrated Socrates was prepared, and second, he used the word perspective. The aim was to get a dialogue underway, so hearing someone's viewpoint equates to a terrific method to generate conversation. The doctor immediately understood the meeting was about Dr. Johnson, and from where he sat, it meant the priorities were in order. Take note of Dr. Johnson's perfunctory yet common attitude towards his lab.
"They're pretty reliable."
For those who sell lab services, people hear words of satisfaction most of the time. However, and this is a big however, prospects do not use a checklist about points with their lab service. He or she may forget a particular need or simply not realize an important issue. Therefore, Socrates asked questions corresponding to strategic strengths of his lab. He honed in on unrecognized problems and provided unanticipated solutions. In essence, he brought to light a little whirlpool under the placid water, helping Dr. Johnson think about specific subtleties of his practice. Socrates understood he needed to create more than just rational reasons for using his lab. He wanted to bring emotion into the picture. Thus, he discussed, the lab's locale with the associated benefits, certainly a rational component, and secondly, improving patient care, a rational and emotional aspect, and third, a competitive advantage over other area providers, a creative comment that highlighted another emotional element. One interesting point, Dr. Johnson did not know his lab's representative's name. This did not escape our astute salesperson, and it indicated no strong personal ties stood in the way for Socrates. Socrates stated how most people feel about labs. Most people regard a lab as just a lab, simply an organization running tests and returning results to the provider. While the doctor did not say anything, he was probably nodding his head internally with agreement. However, Socrates immediately blasted through that thought with his statement, "We provide far more than a routine service." He asked a rhetorical question, "Who would you rather use? A lab acting in a simple transactional manner, or a local lab who sees the relationship as a joint venture?" This was a very rational yet provocative question, no doubt poking intensely into Dr. Johnson's mind, such as, yeah, that does make sense. Why am I using a lab who doesn't offer more? One might argue the point that Socrates should have immediately provided the supporting medical papers on the superiority of the C. difficile PCR method and the updated clinical guidelines. However, Socrates felt that in order to continue the process of building credibility and trust, it would be more effective if he returned to the office. It would help to differentiate himself by offering a valid business reason when asking for an appointment. This is in contrast to other lab reps who drop in on a casual basis with nothing important to say and needlessly usurping the staff's time in the process. Now, the close. Socrates proceeded through three important steps. He asked if there were any additional questions. Secondly, he summarized the important points. And third, he suggested the next step. Note that he did not ask for the business. He proposed the idea of a trial run. It has a stronger psychological push. So, in summary, over 2,400 years ago, Socrates developed a method of persuasion one could classify as low-pressure selling, specifically asking questions instead of telling. Through inquiry, he led people to their own judgment because he knew individuals value more what they say and their own conclusions as opposed to what someone else tells them. In a world in which most people are happy with their lab service, Socrates knew he had to guide the prospects to unveil things they hadn't thought too much about because, as stated in our scenario, that's the way it's always been. Did Socrates work for a mega lab that offered a wide range of services? Hardly. But he thoroughly understood the differences of his laboratory over the competition. He recognized that if he was going to be successful, he could not wait for ABC Lab to falter. That could take years, if at all. No, he worked the differences to a win-win outcome by asking questions and listening. Socrates' motto became, "Questions are the answer." This is Peter Francis, President of Clinical Laboratory Sales Training. I hope you have gleaned some important information from this three-part series on If Socrates Sold Laboratory Services.